Thaddeus is online here.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to the Grand Junction Regional Airport Authority, May 3rd, 2022 meeting. My name's Tom Benton. I'll be calling the meeting to order this evening. Thank you all for attending. If you'll join me, we'll start our meeting with a pledge of allegiance and then we'll do roll calls.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, we do have one of the commissioners joining us via Zoom, so for the record, we'll do a call out for commissioners in attendance. Commissioner Velarde.
Here.
Commissioner Tuffley.
Here.
Commissioner Marshall.
Here.
Commissioner Schrader.
Here.
Thank you, sir. And I'm here as well. Commissioner Braback has called in. He won't be able to attend, as has Commissioner Taggart. But with the five in attendance, we do have a quorum this evening. So thank you, commissioners, for attending. And we'll also do a roll call for our staff this evening. Cameron, will you assist us with that?
Yes, I will. In attendance, we have Executive Director Angela Padalecki, Director of Finance Sarah Mingy, Director of Operations Dylan Heberline, Director of Facilities Ben Peck, Accounting Coordinator Shayla Flesh, and myself, Cameron Reese, Board Clerk.
Thank you, Cameron. Appreciate that. Tonight's agenda has been prepared by our staff. We have one action item regarding a lease out on the east end of our property, presentation from West Air Aviation, and also a presentation regarding our general liability insurance policy renewal. Are there any additions, subtractions, or changes to our agenda from your chair?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Commissioners, there's nothing to pull from consent, so we'll ask for that this evening. I will ask, however, for a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. Do a real quick roll call vote for that, if we need to include Thaddeus. Thaddeus, there's a motion on the table to approve the agenda as presented. All those in favor, please respond when I call. Thaddeus Schrader.
Aye.
Commissioner Velarde.
Aye.
Commissioner Marshall.
Aye.
Commissioner Tuffley.
Aye.
Chair votes in approval as well. Thank you. All right, commissioner comments this evening. Pretty quiet today. One of the other boards, and you guys may have served on this as well, usually calls out at the start of the agenda if there are conflicts of interest for the policies that are there today or that particular meeting. And in this case, for our agenda this evening, I do have a conflict with our action item for the folks that are involved in that. So I will be recusing myself from that, and Commissioner Tuffley will be running the agenda for that action item. I will call out, however, if there's any citizen comments before we jump in and pass that over. Anything?
No, Mr. Chairman, we have no citizen comments.
Okay. All right. Well, Commissioner Tuffley, if you take us through the rest of the agenda, that'd be good. Okay.
So we are going to start with our action item. Who would like to present that?
I can cover that one. So I think we may or may not have a guest arrive mid-discussion, but this lease that we proposed, really, we were approached by Quint Shear and N70 Tech. They are basically the property owners adjacent. They are currently farming part of that property. And we've had a problem with a lot of public dumping kind of on the site. The proposed site is this sort of hatched area here. And they're wanting to get that cleaned up. It's really right adjacent to theirs and expand their current farming operation. So they approached us about the lease. The proposed term is 5 years with 1 5-year extension option. We see the benefit to ourselves as having someone else maintain the property. It's currently outside the AOA fence. The fence line that we have kind of runs up along here, so none of it is fenced in. It's difficult for our staff to maintain. So we think it is a good fit for us to have them do it as well. As part of the, in determining the rent, there's also no irrigation on the upper portion of the parcel. It needs a replacement of the irrigation pump that's sitting there. So what we've put together and come to with rents is that we will, in lieu of rent, actually accept them installing and maintaining an irrigation pump for the site. We estimate that at a total cost of about $12,500. And then we basically amortize that over the term of the lease, looked at it on a per acre basis, and I was able to compare that to the USDA. They print an average lease rate for agriculture land by county, so we went back and compared that to their most recently issued report to make sure that that's a fair and reasonable rent rate. So that's how we arrived at some of the terms on the lease. But I would invite any other questions if you guys had anything further.
Do they plan on fencing that?
I don't believe so.
There's actually a house on their property there, and so they're cleaning up that house. So typically there's someone living there who can kind of maintain some order to the operation. I think that's the intent.
Okay. I assume Dan's reviewed the lease as well or
yes.
prepared it?
Yep. We have a few clauses that we added in there as far as, you know, should the land be needed for other purposes with FAA and things like that. We have some outs and abilities to cancel it. We've talked about Quint with that. And should we have to cancel early too, that amortized cost, we would basically reimburse them for any portion that, you know, they didn't get to lease the land over that term of what we estimated was the fair market value for the land, so.
Does the pump stay?
Yes, the pump will stay and that reverts ownership to us once that's done.
And the well's adjudicated? Or does it have a well?
I don't know if it has a well or not. I'm looking over at Ben.
I don't think it has a well.
But what we do have with it is, I believe it's 180 acre feet or 188 acre feet of water through the...
Okay, through the pipeline?
Yes.
Yes, I guess to add some context, there's a, if you're familiar with the Grand Valley Rural Power substation by 29 Road, within that complex there's a pump house that pulls out of the Highland Canal and is pumped over to the interstate.
Okay.
And actually, within the lease, too, if you noticed it, there's a portion of that water that we actually utilize for irrigation on the property here for the landscaping. So we have basically broken that out as well. So if they overuse the water shares beyond what's allocated between the two for that property, then they would also be subject to pay for those amounts as well. But we do utilize a portion of that water.
How would we handle if we got cut off? There wasn't enough water, if the water rights were being used.
We did include a clause that we're not guaranteeing water. So if there's a shortage, that's not basically the responsibility of us as the landlord. Ultimately, I guess where we would go from there, I think would be, we'd have to talk with legal on that, but we don't have any guarantee.
Just negotiate who gets to use what water there is.
Exactly.
Thaddeus, since you're not in the room, do you have any questions on the lease?
I don't have any questions at this time.
Thank you.
This is quite the eyesore when you're driving on I-70 because, you know, of the dumping issue. So we're pretty excited, you know, to not only have it maintained and cleaned up, but it'll look better too. So just in time, Quinn. Welcome.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
Getting service.
No, it's okay. We're used to people joining us at this hour out of breath from running up the stairs, so you're in good company.
We've gone through a good portion of the presentation, so unless there's something you'd like to add.
No, that's perfect. No, I mean, do you have any questions for me? I think mostly we just want to have this relationship so we can get things cleaned up out there.
Just for the record, Quint Scher has joined us here in the room.
Any questions for me on that?
Well, I noticed, I mean, part of the problem is the trash problem that occurs on the airport property, right? I assume it's also on yours?
It occurs on both.
So what are you going to do to, obviously you can't totally stop it, but do you have plans? What's your plan?
We're going to keep the place locked up. We've removed, you guys put up a fan. Your fence has helped a lot. We're going to keep that place locked now, and with the farmers out there farming it, they will get the fields in shape again, and then I think we'll, with the gates locked and all the fences, we've improved all the fences around it. We hope that will stop people. We're going to make it look like somebody's still living there. Currently, the guys that are farming for us have their cows out there. And so they're out there every day, spring farming, and they're out there every day, irrigating. So I think having a presence there will help.
So you're going to rehab the fields? I mean, is that the plan?
The plan is they're currently farming property on us.
Right.
And then we'll take this lease and combine both the lease, we'll do a master lease on both properties. And farmable again, and they're gonna level and replant.
That's good. Good idea.
So they'll probably plant alfalfa in there. They might get it planted by this fall. With a cover crop. So we'll see. So the idea is in 2 years we'll have a good crop on that northern beach crop.
Good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Okay. Hearing no other questions, could entertain a motion on our action item.
I'll make a motion to approve the proposed farm lease with N70 Tech LLC for the parcel of land at the southeast corner of the airport property and authorize the executive director to sign the lease.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further questions? All right, then we will call for a vote. Mr. Schrader.
Aye.
Mr. Velarde.
Aye.
Ms. Marshall.
Aye.
Mr. Benton will abstain, and I am an aye as well. So that motion passes. Thank you. Thank you all. I'll take that over.
All right. Sounds good. Clay, nice job. I haven't heard I'm an aye.
I'm an aye, yeah.
And I'm an aye.
I'm not a no. I'm not an aye.
All right. That's good. Well, thank you, Ken, for being here this evening. Appreciate that. Next item on our agenda is our Westar Aviation update. Dave, thanks for being here.
Oh, you bet.
Nice to have you here. We don't see you very often, but it's always good to have you here. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah. We've been virtual, huh?
Yeah.
If you want to just advance it with the arrows.
Is it the up arrow or the...
I think it's the side arrow.
Okay. All right. So Westar. Angela asked that I come by and talk to you a little bit about what we're up to and what our future plans are. Currently we're at right close to 540 employees, keep growing. One of the things that is driving our growth is we're moving into larger airplanes all the time. More Gulfstreams, more Globals, more of the larger Embraer aircraft. This is one that we painted just about 3 weeks ago. And I'll show you a few examples. This is a G4 that we just did. And then the other piece of this is we're doing a lot of interior work on these airplanes. And this is one we did for Restoration Hardware. It's a large company, worldwide company. But what was unique about this is when they bought their G650 from Gulfstream, they had the entire interior covered in wood veneer. And they came to us with their G4 and said, hey, can you guys make it look like our G650? And so we renovated this airplane, and everything you see on the headliners, sidewalls, and passenger service units is all high-end veneer that's been curved and fitted to make the entire interior a wooden interior. First one, probably only the second one in the world that's been done like that other than the one from Gulfstream. So as far as the talent that we have here in Grand Junction, it's amazing that we're able to do this kind of world-class work here in Grand Junction on these larger aircraft. And obviously with the larger aircraft, you know, it's good for everybody because it brings, you know, more revenue into the community and better pay for the employees and on and on. This is another one we did. This was a Global Express. And this is a Challenger 350 that we did. And again, everything you see in these pictures, and actually if I go back one, so everything in this cabin that you're looking at, we've custom done. Nothing is original. So all of the, like the composite graphite, handrails, the leather seats, the stitching, the carpeting, even to the plating, it's all done by our team in the interior shop. You know, like the custom stripe down the seats. We have a designer in-house that helps the owner and the team come up with what they want in the cabin. Again, some pretty amazing things that they do. I'm showing this because lot of times all of you don't get to see this stuff because you're on the outside looking in.
But Bond movies.
Yeah, right. And to that point, you know, when I start talking about larger airplanes, it means we need more room, more space. As you can see here, this is one of our maintenance hangars, and it's packed full. In fact, we last fall, we had so many airplanes that we actually had 40,000 square feet of airplane square footage we were working outside because we were that short on space. So business is good. You know, I love the problem of being too busy. And with that, it leads into this, which I think you're all aware of. We're planning on adding a... you don't have the pointer, do you?
No, sorry.
Oh, that's
you can
okay.
Do it with the mouse, though, if you want.
Will that work?
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Sure. You might look at it on yours because it seems delayed up there.
There, you can see the mouse. Mm-hmm. I hope everybody can see that.
Yeah.
So this would be the new hangar right here, which is a 40,000 square foot hangar. And this picture doesn't really show it well, but the hangar that you see existing there, again, I lost my mouse. I guess I'll give up on that. Well, let's try it one more time. This over here, this hangar is our existing 790 hangar. It would be about 2,000 square feet smaller than the new hangar. So the new hangar is bigger, and then it also has about 32,000 square feet of shop space. And then down here in this area, this is all new ramp space. And I'm losing control of the mouse, but we need the additional ramp because with that hangar there, it's going to kind of crowd the area. And so we'll need that space for working airplanes outside. But this new hangar, the focus of it is these larger airplanes, the interiors that you were just seeing. A big part of what we're going to do in this new facility is interior work. And again, that's good for the community because all of our avionics install, interior, and paint technicians we hire from the community primarily. And that's a big chunk of our workforce. And a lot of people think when they think about aviation and they think about Westar, they think about aircraft mechanics. But out of our 540 employees we have today, 140 of them are A&P mechanics. So who are the rest of those people? Well, it's everything. It's line technicians and everybody I just mentioned. And again, our goal is to hire local because we get better long-term, you know, they stay with us because they have roots here. Let's see, going with that, I wanted to mention tonight, that facility is going to be almost $19 million to build. But what's been exciting about this is when we decided to expand, our executives were trying to figure out where they wanted to build, because we can build in Chattanooga, East Alton, Illinois, Perryville, or Grand Junction. And the building costs here are a little higher, and we do have some state differences that are, you know, kind of expensive to businesses. So we went to GJEP, the Chamber of Commerce, the City of Grand Junction, and the Airport Authority, and asked for help. And some of you were in those meetings, a few of you anyway. And what's cool about that is what came out of it is OEDIT, the Office of Economic Development, decided to give us a grant for $1.4 million toward that facility. And then they also had another fund that they used to give $246,000 toward this project, which the Grand Junction community matched. So over $2 million is being added to help us get this project here into Grand Junction. And that was part of the influence that made us decide to expand here. On our side of that, and let me back up a little bit, it is really, really rare that the state ever funds both of those to any expansion in Colorado. In fact, I think they said it had only been done once. So So it says something to the eastern side to, you know, to be aware that we're here and want to help us. So our commitment on the West Star side is 110 new jobs. One of the contracts is 82, but we'll be over that. And that's over a 5-year period under one of them and 8 years under the other. But we'll actually hire half of that staff before we even open the facility. So we'll begin. The plan is to open October of next year. So we'll start moving dirt October of this year. One of the long poles in the tent is getting a building, a steel building. Steel is hard to get. Good news is I had a meeting right prior to this, and they actually put out bids for the building today. So we're well on the road to getting things done. And then in that building, we also will have a welding shop and a composite shop, but it just goes to further that concept that we have a lot of people that work at West Star that aren't aircraft mechanics. And let me move on. Just a little different view. You can kind of see how the hangar is. That one in the middle is a Global Express, the largest airplane we work on. And then the two-story shop and office space of 37,120 feet. So the whole facility is about 77,000 square feet. And that'll take us to 380,000 square feet under roof here in Grand Junction.
We can say that figure one more time. How many square feet under roof?
380,000 square feet under roof. And a little different view. We're adding a bunch of parking. This is from the south side looking north. And kind of from above. And then a little bit on the people piece. Grand Junction's a neat place for us to be. We had two general manager summits at West Star last year, and one was in Illinois and one was in Grand Junction. And so the one in Illinois was great, but when they came here, I said, I'm going to step it up a notch. So when the GMs all got here, I asked my team, I said, what can we do to make this special? So I don't know if I can point with this thing. I won't bother. About half of this group is my team, and half of these people are from outside of Grand Junction. The guy in the kind of purplish shirt, he's our CEO, so he's my boss. So what we did is when they all arrived, we got every one of those team members have a side-by-side, and we hauled them all down and took them up Land's End Road, had dinner up on the top of the Grand Mesa that evening, looking out over the Grand Valley. It was really spectacular. But the reason I bring that up is it's so neat to be here in Grand Junction, because we not only can do that with our team, but we can do that with our customers, and that's what keeps them coming back. So it's helped us be successful here in the Valley.
That explains the grins from ear to ear on your
And I didn't tell any of them what we were doing. I said, bring a coat, bring shoes, and they're all like really curious, like, what are we doing? And they never imagined. But again, part of West Star's success is the community.
Nicely done, Dave.
And then this is really the key to what I wanted to talk about tonight. This is what it's all about. This is Jacob. I talked to him last Thursday. We hired him out of Grand Junction. He's a kid out of school. We hired him into the interior shop. He was with us 4 days when I talked to him. And his eyes were this big, and he was totally excited that he had a chance at a career here in Grand Junction. And so that's really, at the end of the day, when we start talking about jobs, this is really what it is for me anyway. And then to the existing team that we have, I walked around the hangar last Thursday and I asked him, I said, what do you think about getting a new hangar? Do you think we need the space? That's what I got. A lot of that. And just a really great team of people. These two guys, this is Mike and Shannon, really good employees, been with us for, I think, over 10 years now, and really solid. They're team leaders, so they have a group of people under them. But what's cool about them is when Mesa Airlines shut down, we hired them. And so, you know, they've had an additional 10-year career here because someone was here that could employ them. And they love it. You can see that. I also asked them if they thought we needed a new hangar, and they're the ones that have been working outside. So this is our interior shop, just a group of them, and this is one of the bigger, as far as the shop expansions, we'll be doubling the size of our interior capacity. So the reason I showed you all those pictures at the beginning is to give you a feel for why we need it and what we do with it. And so this is a big part of the reason for the expansion. And let's see. The other thing I would want to say is thank you to the Airport Authority. You guys have always been very supportive and helped West Star grow. I appreciate that. I know my team appreciates that, and I know our employees appreciate it, so thank you. For me personally, I know Angela's probably told you, but I am changing my role at West Star. I'm going to be stepping out of the general manager role into a role where I work for Jim Rankin, our CEO, doing special projects. But the good part about that is I'm still going to do the community relations, so I'm still your person if you need something. Because we've always had a great relationship with the airport. But I've been with West Star for, it'll be 26 years this July, and I've been the GM for 14 years. But 27 years ago last month, a buddy of mine and I wrote a letter to West Star in Grand Junction, and we challenged them with starting a jet program here in Grand Junction. And we came out and met with Bernie Busher, Wayne O'Hara, Dave Girard at the time. And our proposition was to start a business jet program. And I have to say to you, I can't believe how far we've come in this amount of time. And I give all the credit to the team and the people that work there. It's not me, it's them. And so I'm not going anywhere. I'm still gonna, so if you hear rumors, please quench them. And West Star is here to stay. As you can see, we're planning on making a big, big investment here. This isn't the end of how we wanna grow. I could see us, in fact, I've already drove around with Angela and looked for where we go next. So my message to all of you is we're gonna continue to be here as a partner, and we're looking forward to the future. So that's all I had.
Great. Thank you, Dave. You know, your vision 27 years ago put this on the map for Western Colorado, and the growth in the employment base has been fabulous for diversification of economics. Thank you very much for what you've done, and I'd like to extend my appreciation to our airport team members also for being accommodated in that process, supportive, and mm-hmm. making this happen, because this is a big deal. For 110 people, that's a big payroll.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Job well done. I know commissioners have a few questions. I think Thaddeus is on the shortest time crunch here as far as having to leave. So Thaddeus, do you have anything you'd like to visit with Dave about?
I just really appreciate the presentation, and it was extremely heartwarming to see Shannon up there on screen. I used to be on the maintenance team and would have to spend all night at the airport out at Mesa once in a while and doing test flights for prop balancing, and he was just an amazing lead in those days, and to see him still creating amazing jets out there is, it's really heartwarming. So that was a fun blast from the past.
Cool.
Thanks, Thaddeus, for those comments. I know you'll probably have to run pretty quick, so congratulations to your family that's doing wonderful things out there. So
thank you so much.
You bet. Other comments for questions for Dave?
Just a thank you for coming and visiting with us. You know, to read about this in the paper is one thing, but to hear directly from you is really neat, and we appreciate that partnership.
You
so
bet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But I would just say, taking off my commissioner hat, put on my air show hat, your leadership and your team is amazing every year, and couldn't happen without you, as everyone knows. So what it does for the community, what you allow us to do, I don't know what space is going to be left, but that's going to be a busy October next year.
We'll be ready.
So we'll figure it out like we always do, but thank you for everything you've done.
You bet.
Appreciate working with
you. You bet.
Just want to thank you for the presentation.
Oh, you bet.
Also, thank you. When I got here, I didn't even know what Westar was about, but our company I work for, they fly in there, and I have to say that's pretty impressive. The efficiency, the courteous people. I mean, I'm pretty impressed, so I want to thank you and appreciate the presentation. Thank you very much.
Employee parking, is that going to be going, I guess that would be the southeast?
Yeah.
Parking lot will be expanded? Is that kind of where that's?
Yeah, where the cursor's going along there.
Yeah.
In fact, I was just talking to Angela before.
We decided right before.
Okay.
But, you know, it's in the original plan, but we want to grow it even more, but we're trying to get up to close to 100 more spots. We have a few extra right now, but not many, and the main sites are still growing, so we'll need 100 spots.
Seems like those A hangers are getting pretty tired looking, so I don't know if we can boot those tenants out of there or not.
For the record, he's looking at an existing tenant.
That one's directed to Quint, our guest.
Yeah. I wanted to chime in and just say thank you to Dave. He completely understates the partnership that he and his team provide the airport. I mean, it works so seamlessly. When I was coming here 4.5 years ago, I was a little bit nervous because, you know, it's either a blessing or scary when you have a tenant the size of Westar on the airport, right? Because you don't know what kind of role they're going to play and how they behave. But they made it very clear. It's like, hey, we're in this together. And that's absolutely how things operate here. I mean, out there, no one ever knows who works for who, and no one cares. Like, we all have the same common objectives, whether it's, you know, and it's a good experience for our customers, right? But on any given day, that good experience looks different. And we talk about diversions all the time. We talk about the commercial diversions. You should see their ramp. When we have a bunch of commercial diversions, they are going to just be bursting at the seams. But our teams work together really well, and they provide incredible partnership and do so many wonderful things for the community that are not featured here either. So just wanted to say thank you. And they grow quickly, but not too quickly, which is really comforting as an airport too. They came to us. We've talked about this for a very long time, made sure that it was going to work. They were really cognizant and sensitive to the height issues with the hangars. And so very much collaborative process and coming up with the best solution. And, you know, they continue to be that way. It's just, the bar is very high. OSR sets and all they do, and that includes interactions with the community and the airport. So thank you.
Yep.
Congratulations to you as well and your change.
Oh yeah, thank you.
Exciting, yeah.
I had not told them because I wanted you to be able to.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
okay.
I was like, well, I wasn't withholding it, but I was like, no, he's going to come present, and I bet he can tell you himself that it's better that way. So.
Great, Dave. Special projects will be fun. Sounds like you might be traveling a little bit more throughout the company for those.
Yeah, perhaps.
Like I said. So yep. Thanks for your community engagement. Anything at the top of the house in the Duncan/Westar world, is like the private equity partners shifting ownership interest and that kind of stuff? Is any of that happening out there?
For us?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we recently went through a new investor transition, and that's actually part of why we're able to do this. So it's actually a good thing. They have additional capital, and they're allowing, you know, it's a big investment, $19 million on top of the hiring and the payroll and the equipment and the tooling and all of that. It's a big deal. So, yeah, we have some new investors, and we're excited about them. They're excited about us, and they want to grow us, which is what we want. So it's good.
Great. Well,
as far as Duncan, yeah, they're around, but we'll beat them.
That's good. Good deal. I'm glad to hear that. You bet. Well, on our behalf, tell the new investor group that we appreciate their investment in this community, and look forward to the opportunity to, if they're in here, to welcome them in some capacity as well. So
okay.
That'd be great if we could. So
absolutely.
Maybe the air show invitation or something of that nature.
Yeah, and I expect Jim, our CEO, to do more in-person stuff. In fact, we're already planning it post-COVID. So if he's out here, I'd love to bring him by, and we'll see if we can't figure out a way for you guys to meet him again.
Well, thanks again, Dave, for your continued investment, both personally and through the company, in this community and expanding employment. What a great place to work.
Yep.
So, thanks again.
Yep.
All right. Our next item on the agenda is our liability insurance policy renewal discussion. Is that you, sir?
Yes, our guest would like to leave.
Yeah.
Not yes. Opposite
yeah,
to the liability.
Like, you're welcome to, but...
If there's a sandwich over there, grab it on your way out. So.
This was strategic on Sarah's part, huh? Like, get you really awake and excited. It's like, let's talk insurance.
Thank you for coming.
I don't know if it's a good strategy.
I may not say this. Thank you all.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good evening.
So just an overview, our policies that we have up for renewal right now are the property insurance, general liability, automobile, public officials, crime, and then cyber is a new one that we haven't had in the past, but we've been talking about. We've had recommendations from it. The FAA has new guidance and requirements that they're talking about when it comes to security and cyber and things. So that's policy that we're looking at. Hub is our broker, has reached out to those carriers for quotes. Cameron was really helpful this year, and I want to thank him in helping to gather all of that information. It's a pretty heavy lift, unfortunately. But we fill all that out. Hub goes out to the carriers and gets those quotes and then brings them back with their recommendations. We've had a chance to talk through coverage limits, deductibles, and all of those fun things. So the biggest changes that you'll see, and I can go ahead and flip to the next one, are in our property and the airport liability insurance. And I do want to point out, so this is a summary of what was what we had last year and what's expiring on this side in this column. And then the renewal, this is based on the best rates that we've received so far. Hub has said they don't know that we will get any better ones. We are still waiting on a few quotes, though. Some of the carriers weren't able to get those submitted in time for the presentation this evening. So overall, when you look at kind of the package, excluding that cyber policy that we're considering, it's a $13,000 increase. About 9.7%. Angela and I were talking, I think in this period of inflation and just the rising cost increases, and considering the amount of property, we also expanded the scope of what's covered. Our insured value for property went up about 18% this year. We've been incrementally adjusting the value of the terminal building when it comes to that replacement cost, but it's nowhere near some of those estimates that, you know, as we looked at that expansion for the bill application at $750 a square foot, that is certainly not what we've been insuring our building at. So we didn't think it was necessary to jump it up all the way, but we've been trying to incrementally increase that value of our insured property over time. And honestly, I would say pleasantly surprised with the response and the increase that we have proposed so far. Because this is it's a June to May 31st policy period. From our budget cycle, it looks a little bit different. So the estimated calendar year cost, when you consider 7 months of the higher rate and 5 months of the lower rate, is about $143,000. We did budget $140,000, so we were expecting an increase. We did increase that property value a little bit higher than we were, you know, originally thinking, but with the rising costs, just and everything that's going on in Colorado with the fires and things like that, there's a lot of discussion about underinsured properties. So felt uncomfortable not increasing it to what we did. So this is a preliminary quote. Hub wasn't able to join the call this evening, but if anyone has any questions, we're still working through getting final quotes, but our goal with this was to kind of kick this off. We will be asking for a final approval at the May meeting, so it'll start our June 1st policy period. But wanted to give a little more time and information to digest this and just get comments and feedback.
Commissioners, thoughts?
When we talk replacement cost, do we have understanding that if you said this is worth $50 million, they're going to charge you, you know, for that cost? But we say replacement cost, so then is there a max of what that replacement cost would be, I assume? And what are our assumptions that, mm-hmm. you know, a third of the building is going to burn down, but the rest we don't think?
Yeah,
we've got to
so
make some of those assumptions, right?
Unfortunately, it depends as part of the answer, too, because some of the equipment policies, like property, when we're looking at it, and this is, it is the tower, it is the terminal building, it is all the hangars, it is all of the equipment, like that's all rolled into one policy. Some of those are cash value. we don't want to pay to insure our 1980s snow equipment at, you know, just kind of thinking through cash value versus replacement value. So there's some of those that look a little bit different on what we're insuring, what that value is. Some of them are actually insured as a group too. You know, if there was a catastrophe and it all went away, we would get X lump sum. It's not specific to property. So there's a bunch of different layers within there. But to answer your question, that is all falling under an umbrella policy with property as well. So there's a maximum amount for each of the different items essentially. And we use that per square foot amount to come up with what that insured value is for the whole thing. But it essentially, I think, comes under an umbrella policy. So if only the lollipop, for example, were to get demolished, I don't think that that's just a replacement cost at that per square foot value. It's a replacement cost for that terminal coverage, which is, I forget what the individual terminal value is, but it would be up to that amount. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's just a lot. Is there best practices that we should be following, just like, say, the city, and they've got to insure all their stuff? Right? Are there best practices, and are we following those? Because I guess I'm relying on you and the hub to say this is good enough.
Yeah.
Because like you guys, I'd love to have your help at home, because I don't know if that's enough. But you know, we all make a bet. Either
yes.
We're going to burn the whole thing down, or it's not going to all burn down. So are we following best practices as far as we can?
We've talked with them. They've switched up our team with hub a little bit too. Like, we have someone that is more involved in the government industry. We looked at the CERSA policy last year as just a different alternative. So I'm feeling pretty comfortable with Hub as that broker and that advisor. The cyber was one that you know, they brought to our attention a couple of times as well. I can certainly follow up though and just kind of ask if there's anything else that we need to consider. I can certainly take that back as a follow-up item. But
just some questions that
yeah.
I guess you get to wrestle with.
Well, and that's where what I will say is, you know, it's so hard in government to have apples to apples, right? And they acknowledge that. But, you know, what we find comforting, right, in this journey where we've really been increasing the coverage itself, right, replacement value, is that they've been there to say, well, I mean, per square foot rates are usually this and this, and they're lower. So there's natural tension there, and it's, in my mind, it's in the right direction and a comforting direction where they're like, oh, I think you're probably fine. We're like, we want to make sure we're actually all the way fine if something were to happen. We don't know what could happen, and we want to make sure we're safe. I mean,
yeah.
These dollars aren't big dollars when you think about that type of situation. And so that's brought me comfort over the years, is that, you know, our experts haven't been concerned about the coverage levels. We brought that to their attention, and we understand that airport units are just bigger than other municipal government units. And so we're pushing that, but it tells me that we are operating, you know, positively outside of those standards in a way that's a little bit safer than what you see other governments doing.
It was kind of nice last year too, because when we did the renewal, it was actually when the school district was, they just gotten their quotes for the Orchard Mesa replacement project. So obviously it's not an airport, but it is a government. So it was kind of nice to see their cost per square foot. This year we had the bill entitlement, so we had a very rough, and it also included loading bridges and things. But you know what I mean? Like, we've had some good up-to-date and current data to look at as we look at those values too. So that's been really helpful and kind of a blessing for us that we weren't expecting. So
yeah, and to that point, it depends what part of the airport burns, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it might be more than enough, and it might not be enough, and so that's where we're just trying to be safe. And
I think that's great to have that kind of data where you can fall back on it and say, here's what we believe it would take, and so we've insured to that level.
Yeah.
Insuring a public asset.
Well, we talked about the fact too that if there was a total destruction, I mean, we would actually really hope too that the FAA or some other, you know, assistance would be there as well, but we can't count on that. We don't want to bank on that, but we're not on our own. We're a piece of a whole puzzle.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, obviously coming from Denver, you know, that risk team, talking with that risk team, but the scale, they handle things so differently, and they're part of the city and county of Denver, and so there's no right way of doing it, but getting to look at a lot of different examples, we're feeling really comfortable with the path we're on. And we anticipate that we'll likely continue to ratchet up the value of the property in the years to come until it's at a level where, you know, it feels closer to the middle of what average
That's the challenge I see, is the city and the county really aren't on the hook necessarily, but they're gonna wanna have an airport, so how do you?
Right, yeah, I mean, that's just it, we operate more independently, so.
Good questions, Clay.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't read the name of the company that has the XL brand on it for public officials liability.
XL Catlin, I think was the name of them.
And that, they continue to disappoint me,
In the size of the font or beyond that.
Well, it's been 5 years or 6 years or 7 years since the Fugle lease that happened with previous airport administration. And you'd think that we could live past that. And I guess the other discussion around that, I think we moved from a $2 to $3 million limit and it cost us $8,000 or $9,000 a year the last time to do that. Should we look at that price break point again with these folks and say, okay, if we dropped it back down to $2 million incidents kind of a thing?
We can reprice that and certainly get what those options look like. I think we settled in on the three, and when we benchmarked it, I think a lot of the other entities were at 3 to 4. So we were on the low end with 2 before.
Yeah.
My understanding in the conversations is the incidents back in 2014 and 15 and all those investigations are not weighing into that at all. We did an analysis last year, and I wish I would have brought it back up, but the policy type was a lot different too. We paid like a 6-year policy, and there was lump sum payments. And actually, when you averaged those out, I remember looking at it, it's definitely gone up, and rates have gone up, but it's not like it went up 50% and then stayed there either. Like when you actually average out pre-investigation, post-investigation, there was a little bit of a bump, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a doubling, it wasn't a gigantic increase. And I can see if I can go revive that one again. This was one actually I was surprised, so the rates did not increase this year. We've seen those rates increase 3 years in a row now, I think, and that one didn't change.
So it's not part of a 5-year contract or something?
It is not a multi-year. No, that one just happened to have no rate increase.
Well, a penny, it looks like.
Yes, a penny. That's interesting.
Good
to
catch,
me. Yeah, I love that they put pennies on that one and none of the other ones, yeah. But it wasn't my material, so I just
Are they bidding that one out?
Yes, the only other thing with that too is that's the only one that's responded the last few years.
Okay.
And I think part of that has to do with the airport specific. I think that's been a challenge too, is there's not a ton of companies that will do some of that airport specific liability.
Yeah.
Both for the public officials and then the airport general liability is interesting too. They have certain carve outs that they will or won't do with hangars and planes and different things. So
I know a number of you guys have served on other boards, and you can buy a couple $1 million worth of O&D or D&O insurance for much less than that in other organizations. So it just befuddles me that premium is where it is.
You know, the other thing we could look at is I have a couple air show insurers that apparently will deal with the risk. I don't know what those numbers would look like, but if they need different insurers, we can give them a couple more.
We could reach out and ask. I think the other thing that might be different with that one, though, too, is that also has to do with grant management. I mean, we're at $50 million in open grants now, which we certainly have not had that. I mean, when we talk about that public official's risk, it's the fiduciary responsibility that our board has to oversee the airport. So it's not just things that have happened in the past, but when you think about risk capacity and what we have going on, that is obviously a lot different now than it was.
Do they ask for what our AIP is when they quote that?
Yeah.
NCIP.
That's a really good
there's
point.
There's passenger numbers, there's our grant levels, our current expected revenues and expenses. So all that gets updated annually and sent to that as well.
So that's the grant piece is going to be a big piece, I'm sure. The only thing when you think about it, if we're losing 7 to 10% of our top line revenue with the Delta connection to Salt Lake, is there methodologies by which we can leverage that to get reduced premiums in here, some capacity, you know, just to share that type of gross top line change, and maybe they'll be a little more receptive to help us. I mean, a 9.7% increase is not mirroring where we're going with our revenue. So,
well, yes and no, though, because I think when we look at our budget, we budgeted extremely conservatively, and that's what we're giving them, and we still think that that's a reachable goal. And I think on a couple of those in 2020, we had actually quoted and got a quote right before the pandemic hit, and we had him re-quote it. We cut our projected revenues in half, and we did not see the kind of decline that I think you're thinking, you know, if we went from 6 million to 5.7, you know, 5 or 5.78, I don't think we're going to see substantial decreases. And then I think just when you think about inflation and cost rising, like 9.7 to an 8.5% inflation number right now, you know.
Well, in the 9.7, I want to make sure we bring up the 9.7, most of that is driven by the increase in coverage, not in rates.
Yeah.
So, you know, we expanded that coverage in the building. And so, you know, you increase the scope, and then we also had a rate increase, but I think the rate increase was like 4%.
Yeah, the rate increase on property was 4. And I don't mean to be like combative with
sure,
it, or
you're being
just trying to give you some of the information that I've had in those conversations. Don't want it to come across like I'm just trying to shoot down your question.
Well, and I guess the other thing is it's good to have Dan, who's on the line here with us, just make sure that the policy is not undercovering or overcovering what we need to do in comparison to other entities that are out there. So. I know you have
understood.
Yeah, lots of things on the table, Sarah, you and Dan both. But you know, insurance costs are. It's nice to have insurance when you need it. We're in a relatively environmentally free zone from standpoint of tornadoes and tsunamis and all that kind of stuff. So yeah.
You only get one quote. There's not a whole lot of negotiation.
Yeah, that is.
I know. Also true. And the Hub does have a preliminary packet that they sent that has a breakdown of, you know, those insured values as compared to the rate change, and they did a pretty good history this year that they haven't included in the past. I didn't want to send that out ahead of time because one, I only got it yesterday, and then we're still waiting on a couple more quotes, so just in case something changes. But I will try to get this one out with more advance notice for you guys, even if we send it before the packet, just because I know it's a lot to digest. So if you have other questions, please feel free to let me.
I'm certainly pleased with a lot of the numbers that are on the board there, and recognizing that we're increasing our coverage for our property, there'll be corresponding change there. So thanks for your efforts on doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else regarding this discussion? Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think that completes our items on the agenda today. Any other business for the board? Hearing none. All those in favor and adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Steve. Time to get up.